чорна, чорнява, як циганка. Чим си полюбила, чим си полюбила чорнявого Іванка. Чим си полюбила, чим си полюбила чорнявого Іванка. Іванка та Іванка, сорочка вишиванка, високий та стрункий, високий та стрункий, ще й на
delightful young folk singer from Ukraine by the name of Oksana Mucha opens our program, and that is a tune from her CD called Resheto. The song is Oi Chorna, Yes Chorna, I Am a Dark-Eyed Beauty, and that CD comes to us courtesy Yevshan Online Ukrainian Store, www.yevshan.com, Y-E-V-S-H-A-N. Many thanks to Bohdan Timets for sending us that delightful CD. The whole CD is just great. Again, Oksana Mucha with Oi Chorna, Yes Chorna from the CD Resheto. І таким веселим темпом розпочали нашу програму. Вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопередачу «Наш голос». З вами Павліна Макуарі. Дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there, and welcome to Nash Holos, Ukrainian Roots Radio. I'm Paulette Demchuk-McCory, your host, and I am delighted to have you with me this hour. Whether you're a first-time or long-time listener, a very warm welcome to you, Vitayu. We have a great program lined up for you. We've got Sylvia coming by with a recipe for kolasha, which is a Ukrainian version of polenta. Keith Perron will be by with a special feature on another Hollywood celebrity with Ukrainian roots. And Linda Mikolayenko has the third installment of her program, Beyond the Blue Mirror, and she's got a story called The Eternal Bride. And we'll also have our proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next, you're going to need your dancing boots for this. It's Kalabai from Edmonton, from their CD, Kolomeka Casualties. Here they are now with a song about going off to war. Rather a jolly sounding song, but I guess if you're going off to war the next day, you better kick up your heels when you get the chance. Here's Kalabai now with Rozvivaysya Zelene Bayrache.
Завтра мороз буде, завтра козаче, завтра поки буде. Забирайся, молоде козаче, завтра поки буде. Я морозу, та й не боюся, зараз розіб'юся. Я походу, та й не боюся, зараз уберуся. Я походу, та й не боюся, зараз уберуся. Чорнобілки, сідайте додому. Ой, ми хлопці, хлопці запорожці, верніться додому. Ой, ми хлопці, хлопці запорожці, верніться додому. Полетіли, хай посвітали, туман нарагає. Ой, раділи, та й рататіся, гей, малих пускає. Та й рататіся, гей, малих пускає. Запорожці чару народили. А вже хлопці, хлопці запорожці чару народили.
Montreal, that was Privit, and from their second CD, Zaklekanya, Remember Me, that was Divchina Kupayetsya, Maiden in the Field. Before them, you heard brother and sister duo from Manitoba, Ann Pleskatch and Bill Sherbachuk with Oy Helya Helya. Coming up next, Tut Itam from Saskatoon, and this is from their first self-titled CD. A little bit of bluegrass and swing for you, Chumbara.
На городі сухий дуб хлопці порубали, ой, недавно оженився, усі люди знали. Чумбара, чумбара. Чумба, чумбариня, чумба, чумба, чумбара, чумба, чумба, чумбариня, де дівчина молода. Ой, мав же я дівчиноньку, Марусеньку звали, вона мене сороченька шила й вишивала. Чумбара, чумбара, чумбариня, де дівчина молода. Чумба, чумба, чумбариня, чумба, чумба, чумба. Женька ще й лайвишивала, кребульками, стебульками Бобі ще не знала.
Чубара, чубара, чубариня, де дівчина молода? Чумба, чумба, чубариня, чумба, чумба, чубара. Чумба, чумба, чубариня, де дівчина молода?
Що на вулиці стали всі питати, чи то свято, чи сір'як, то було не знати.
Чумбара, чумбара, чумбариня, де дівчина молода? Чумба, чумба, чумбариня, чумба, чумба, чумбара. Чумба, чумба, чумбариня, де дівчина молода?
Не свята і не сір'я, не така рубака, а це мила вишивала голокостомака.
Чубара, чубара, чубариня, де дівчина молода? Чумба, чумба, чубариня, чумба, чумба, чубара. Чумба, чумба, чубариня, де дівчина молода?
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello, it's time for Hutzel cornmeal called kalasha. I'm thinking of throwing a kalasha party. Would you like to come? Yes, I'm serious. Having spent a time in Hutzel country last year, I just have to give you this rich and tasty recipe. Many Hutzels cook kalasha in sweet or sour cream. Corn is their native cereal and staple, part of their diet. Serve this dish hot with sour cream and cottage cheese, or with fried onions, or with meat. With the exception of North American countries, corn is often referred to as maize. It is the only grain that can be eaten in its natural raw form. Cornmeal is white and yellow corn, dried and ground up. Hominy is corn that has had the hull and germ removed. Polenta is coarse cornmeal. Corn can be used in tortillas, cornmeal, muffins, or quick breads. Interestingly, as a country's wealth increases, its population consumes less grains and more meat. However, whole grains should not be overlooked because of their versatility and their nutritional value. Get your pans ready, and please promise me you'll make kalasha. Heat 1 cup cornmeal in a heavy frying pan over a low heat, stirring constantly until very hot. Be careful not to scorch it. Boil 3 cups of cream with 1 teaspoon salt, and gradually add to the cornmeal. Stir until smooth and free of any lumps. Cook until fairly thick. Spoon into a well-buttered baking dish, cover, and bake at 350 degrees for 30 minutes. Serve hot with sour cream and cottage cheese, or with fried onions, or with meat and gravy. When Mum made plain kalasha, the kind with water instead of milk, we would slice it and fry it in butter and eat with homemade strawberry jam. My mouth is watering. I also used to love it with mushroom gravy. Oi, 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 oi. Those were the days. Enjoy your kalasha.
Join us again next week for Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. You're listening to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio in Vancouver on AM 1320 CHMB and elsewhere on the PCJ Radio Network. Up next is Keith Perron with PCJ Radio and a special feature for Nash Holos called Who Knew They Were Ukrainian?
Let's play a game of Trivial Pursuit. I'm going to mention 4 films. And let's see if you can guess what they have in common. I Died a Thousand Deaths, Once a Thief, The Mercenary, and City Slickers. Any ideas? I'm sure the last one gave it away. Let's try it again, okay? The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Buck Rogers in the 25th Century, and finally, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Do you have any idea what all of those have in common? Well, let's take a listen to this clip from the 1950s TV show, What's My Line?
Is it a picture that is a takeoff or a satire on Hollywood life?
Well, no, I don't know if it's a satire or if it's the truth or not.
I think we would have to give him a yes on that, sir. Miss Kilgallen?
Satire on Hollywood life.
Well, are you Jack Palance?
Yes. On the count of the Broadway thing, there are two pictures, and it's a rather strange thing, I think, isn't it, Jack? Two of Jack's pictures are currently on Broadway, one within a block of the other. The
one,
the Big Knife and I Died a Thousand Times.
As a matter of fact, the houses were adjacent, but one has been cremated recently, and it has gone into the hinterlands. I Died a Thousand Times is gone.
Now, there's one thing I wanted to ask Jack to do, because the last time I saw him, I remember very briefly, he said something about the way his name is pronounced. Now, how do you prefer to have your name pronounced, and how is it too often mispronounced?
Actually, my name is Vladimir Palahniuk, but...
Oh, why didn't you tell me?
I pronounce it Jack Palance.
Palance.
Mm-hmm. How did you happen to pick that name?
Jack Palance?
Yeah.
Oh, it was sort of one of those things, Palahniuk. Nobody could pronounce it. They said, well, we'll call you Palansky, and from Palansky I took Palance. But the name is Palahniuk.
What is the origin of Palahniuk? I think that's easier, really.
Ukrainian.
That was Jack Palance. Jack Palance was born February 18th, 1919. His father was from southern Ukraine. His mother was from the Lviv region. Earlier on in his career, before working as an actor, he worked in the coal mines. And before that, he became a boxer. In the late 1930s, Palance started a professional boxing career, fighting under the name Jack Brazo. He won, apparently, 15 consecutive victories with 12 knockouts. At the beginning of World War II, he joined the United States Air Force. Then after World War II, he graduated from Stanford University with a Bachelor of Arts degree in drama. During his university years, to make ends meet, he worked as a short-order cook, waiter, surter jerk, lifeguard at Jones Beach State Park, as well as a photographer's model. His big break came as an understudy for Marlon Brando in the Broadway production of A Streetcar Named Desire. He eventually replaced Brando on stage in the starring role. 3 years later, he was on the big screen, but only in small parts. The first film that he made was called Panic in the Streets. In the 1950s, Palance performed a number of times on Playhouse 90. He was even nominated for an Emmy for Best Actor for his portrayal of Mountain McKinnock in Rod Sterling's Requiem for a Heavyweight in 1957.
I think almost all actors struggle. There are some who make it big on the first try. Well, that's not the way it was for me. I was in New York for... in the theater for 7 years before I went into film, so that was a lot of training, a lot of working with other people. When you said that I studied with an awful lot of people, it's not true. Actually, I studied with two different people, both of whom I liked very much, and then a lot of training at Stanford University, where I was in a bunch of plays. And that worked out well because I was in San Francisco. Stanford is 30 miles away. And working with the Radio Corps all of the time. That was important. That was before the advent of television. So that was good. There was an awful lot of training, and I fell in love with it, and I decided that I was going to New York. And off I went. And fortunately, things worked out pretty well. Got a couple of jobs here and there, and one of them the first one, I got two lines in Russian. You know, I stood out there and said my lines as the curtain was coming down, almost hit me. That's it. That was my introduction to theater.
4 decades after his film debut, Polance won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor for his performance as cowboy Curly Washburn. It also co-starred Billy Crystal. When he accepted his award at the Oscars, he really brought the house down with his sense of humor.
And the Oscar for Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role goes to Jack Palance, City Slickers.
Billy Crystal. God, I crap bigger than him. Yeah. You know, there are times when you reach a certain age plateau where the producers say, they talk about you and they say, well, what do you think? Can we risk it? Can we do it? Can we use him? The other guy says, I don't know, let's look at some younger ones. We can make them look older, but this one, you know, it's kind of difficult. They forget to ask that you go out there and you do all these things. Like, for instance, you know, you go out there and you do these... Well, that's nothing really. As far as the two-handed push-ups are concerned, you can do that all night. And it doesn't make any difference whether she's there or not. Because... And besides, it's a hell of a lot less expensive. Wow. You know, a long time ago, 1949, first picture. 1949, first film. I've been shooting about 2 weeks, and the producer came to me and he said, Jack, my name at that time was Vladimir, but he called me Jack. He says, Jack, you're going to win the Academy Award. Can you believe it? 42 years later, he was right. Now this son of a bitch knew. Thank you.
In the 1980s, Palance hosted Ripley's Believe It or Not on ABC television, which is still being seen in syndication in some countries. He also made appearances in the movies Young Guns, Tango and Cash, and Tim Burton's Batman. In the 1980s, Palance was also the chairman of the Hollywood Trident Foundation. He walked out of a Russian film festival in Hollywood after being introduced. Palance said, I feel like I've walked into the wrong room by mistake. I think that Russian film is interesting, but I have nothing to do with Russia or Russian film. My parents were born in Ukraine. I'm Ukrainian, not Russian. So excuse me, but I don't belong here. Palance was even awarded the People's Artist Award by Vladimir Putin on the occasion. However, Palance refused the title. One of his most interesting projects was working as a singer. Well, not a professional singer. He was known during his film and television career to sing on the set. So in 1969, while still busy making movies, Palance recorded a country music album for Warner Brothers. The album was called The Meanest Guy That Ever Lived. It was re-released in 2003. One of the songs that did make it to the top 50 in 1969 was a cover of Burl Ives' A Little Bitty Tear, Let Me Down. Here's Jack Palance.
A little bitty tear let me down. Spoiled my act as a clown. I had it made up not to make a frown, but a little bitty tear let me down. When you said you were leaving tomorrow, that today was our last day, I said there'd be no sorrow, that I'd laugh when you walked away, but a little bitty tear let me down.
I said I'd laugh when you left me, full of funny when you went out the door. I'd have another one waiting to wave goodbye as you go. But a little bitty tear let me down, spoiled my act as a clown. I had a made up not to make a frown, but a little bit of tear let me down. Everything went like I planned it, and I really put on quite a show. In my heart I felt I could stand it, till you walked with your grip to the door. A little bit of tear let me down, spoiled my act as a clown. I had it made up not to make a frown, but a little bit of tear let me down. A little bit of tear let me down, spoiled my act as a clown.
And many thanks to Keith Pennell of PCJ Radio for producing that feature on the late, great Jack Palance. Up next is Linda Mikolayenko with her third program from Beyond the Blue Mirror.
Welcome to Beyond the Blue Mirror, a series of programs that celebrates the rich Ukrainian oral tradition. Each program features a folktale or legend, as well as a related real-life story, enhanced with traditional and contemporary music. My name is Linda Mikolayenko. Thank you for joining me. The Eternal Bride. Once upon a time, in a village in Ukraine, there lived an old woman. Her shabby little hut stood at the edge of the village near a dense forest, and she could often be seen wandering there gathering plants and berries for her potions and poultices. People called her a Charivnitsya, a sorceress, because she knew enough magic to help them with her healing herbs and special words. And though they were frightened of her magic, they respected the old woman for her kind heart and her ability to cure their ills. Now, the old woman wasn't always a Charivnitsya. She only learned the magic of healing after her daughter died from a mysterious illness. And now her only ray of sunshine was her granddaughter, Olena, her daughter's daughter, who had shared the old woman's hut ever since her mother died. Now, Olena was a pretty little girl, with eyes the color of the sky and hair that shone like golden wheat. All the children in the village loved to play with her because she was always so lively and full of ideas for new games. But her only true friend was Bogdan, the son of a shepherd. They spent many hours playing together and were rarely seen apart. Now, as the years went by, the pretty little girl became a lovely young lass. Her babtya, her grandmother, had taught her the art of magic, and as bright as she was beautiful, Olena learned quickly. Soon she was an even better Charivnitsya than her babtya. And, as the years went by, Olena's friendship with Bogdan grew into love. But his parents were not happy about that. They were against Bogdan's meetings with Olena, and they absolutely forbid him to even think about marrying her. Perhaps it was her poverty. Maybe they were frightened of her unusual talent. No one knew the real reason for their opposition to Elena. Now, Elena's great beauty and extraordinary talent had made her famous throughout the land. Many young men, rich and poor, came to ask for her hand in marriage. But she always found some odd excuse to refuse them, or set up some impossible task for each suitor to perform. Her heart was with Bogdan, and she still hoped that one day they would be together. One day a warrior from a foreign land arrived. He was very wealthy and highly respectable, though he did have a menacing look about him. And he, too, asked Elena to marry him. "Come back in a year," she said with a mischievous laugh. "If at that time you can follow me everywhere with your love, I will marry you," she said. She was certain that in a year's time the foreigner would forget all about her. And besides, she was relying on her magic. She knew that the task of following her would be extremely difficult and would require not only the knowledge of magic, but much skill and experience in its practice. However, in a year's time, the foreigner returned. He announced that he himself had learned magic and he was now ready to fulfill his task. Well, this came as quite an unpleasant surprise to Elena. Still, she was confident in her magic, and so she smiled sweetly at him and turned herself into a quail. Immediately, he became a falcon. So she turned herself into a little goldfish. But he followed her by becoming a perch. Instantly, she became a deer running swiftly through the forest. But soon, a big wolf, her suitor, was pursuing her. Elena tried every trick she knew to elude him, but it was no use. The foreigner was well prepared for all of them. He had spared no expense in getting the best teachers of magic to tutor him in their art. With tears in her eyes, Elena realized that she must keep her promise. She agreed to marry him. By that time, her Babcia was old and very sick, and she really wanted to see her granddaughter settled before she died. She was sorry to see that there was no love in the marriage, but she knew that in matters of love, even magic is powerless. So she gave her consent, saying, "Respect each other, and love will come." It was spring. Elaborate preparations were made for the wedding. Much food was prepared. The guests arrived. The musicians began to play. Elena, dressed in a satin gown as white as snow, was even more beautiful than ever. The wedding procession set off for the church. The groom walked beside his bride. His eyes seemed strangely dark, and he seemed annoyed and anxious to take his new bride back with him to his own country. "I have better plans for her magic and beauty," he said to himself, "and it is not healing people. Her beauty and her magic will make me the richest man in the whole world, and it will happen very, very soon." Now, many people lined the side of the road, greeting the young couple and throwing flowers at their feet. Among them stood Bogdan. His eyes tried to meet Olena's. "Я тебе так люблю," "I love you so much," they seemed to cry in the painful silence. Then just for a split second, Elena's eyes met his. And suddenly Elena rushed off the side of the road and into the nearest garden, where she disappeared among the trees. And instead of Elena, there appeared in the garden trees that had never been seen before. They were radiant in their snow-white blossom. The groom wizard was furious at this turn of events, and he turned himself into a strong wind and flew into the garden, howling and wailing like a wolf. He tried to pull all the petals away, gather them together, and keep them to himself, but it was no use. Olenna had embraced her land in the first blossoms of the very first cherry trees. And then, another miracle. Buchtan disappeared. And on the very spot where he stood, there appeared a swarm of bees. And then the golden cloud of bees flew towards the cherry trees, gathering sweet honey, kissing every tiny flower. And so it is still today. The cherry tree, an eternal bride, every spring wears her snow-white gown, and golden bees kiss it, sharing a gift of never-ending love. Every spring, Michalina walked among the blossoms, apple blossoms, plum and pear blossoms, and of course, cherry blossoms. Indeed, the Ukrainian village where she was born and grew up was called Sade, which means orchards. By the time she was 20 years old in 1930, though, she left it behind to join her parents and her siblings to come to Canada. No doubt she had great expectations for a wonderful future in this new land, but it was not to be. Like Olenna in The Legend of the Eternal Bride, Michalina would eventually disappear. Unfortunately, her story is not nearly as romantic. The 1930s were difficult years for newcomers to the prairies, and it wasn't long before Michalina set off to find work in the northern mining town of Flin Flon, Manitoba. But just a few months later, she found herself in a mental hospital. No one is exactly sure what traumatic event caused her to have a nervous breakdown, but she was most likely a witness to violence or a victim of violence herself. The hospital bill soon climbed to $140, but her parents could not afford to pay it, so Michalina was ordered deported. She would have ended up in an asylum, but her older sister, who had stayed behind in Ukraine, welcomed her back into the family home. to keep her safe inside, bars were put on the doors and windows. Michalina lived with her sister until one day during the Second World War. When her sister was out, she managed to escape the confinement of a home. She was never seen again. That part of Ukraine was occupied by the Nazis at the time, and the horrors she might have faced are difficult to contemplate. She could have been tortured or shot in a massacre. She could have met her fate in a concentration camp. Michalina was my auntie, and I pray that somehow she managed to transcend her tragic circumstances, and that by God's mercy, as she took her last breath, she imagined she was surrounded by the fragrant beauty of cherry blossoms. Beyond the Blue Mirror is a series of programs that celebrates the rich Ukrainian oral tradition. I would like to acknowledge the support of the Canada Council for the Arts. Je remercie de son soutien le Conseil des Arts du Canada. I would also like to thank Ethnic FM CKER Radio for the Roger Charest Senior Award for Broadcast and Media Arts, administered through the Ukrainian Resource and Development Center at Grant MacEwan College in Edmonton. The folktale in this program is based on The Eternal Bride, from the book A Garland of Legends and Folktales from Ukraine, adapted and retold by Oleksandra Staty, published in 2000 by Ukrainian Gift Shop Incorporated, St. Anthony, Minnesota. Introductory music for this series is taken from Dance 5, from the CD Prairie Nights and Peacock Feathers, performed by Paris Dekev, distributed by Olesha Records. This program also features the folk song Oy u Vishnevomu Sadochku by the Lastyuka Ukrainian Orthodox Choir and Orchestra from the CD Across the Steps, and the original composition by Oleksa Lozochuk, Joy of All Sorrow, from the CD Bright Sadness, distributed by Tendershoot Music. I'm Linda Mikolayenko. You may reach me through my website, lindathestoryteller.ca. Thank you for listening.
Was the Canadian Banduras Capella from Toronto with a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Anna Hori Tatarechka, the Tatar Bush on the Hill, with some kind of cryptic liner notes explaining what the song is about. And they say, my wife is noisy and rustles like a river. Listen carefully, it can be dangerous outside. Kind of cryptic, but also very interesting and a great tune. For the very best in Ukrainian programming, tune in to Nationalist Ukrainian Roots Radio every Sunday evening at 6 p.m. in Vancouver on the radio dial on AM 1320 and online at am1320.com. Elsewhere, Nationalist airs on the PCJ Radio Network on AM, FM, and shortwave radio around the world. Online, you can find us at www.nationalist.com and at www.pcjmedia.com on the Nationalist page there, and also on iTunes. And please do visit us there between broadcasts. You can download the weekly podcast, make a request or leave a comment, and find more Ukrainian cultural content. На жаль, ми вже скінчили нашу програму. Вже час додому і сказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас цими словами мудрості. Який народ, така і його державою. And our proverb of the week translates as, every state reflects its people. Well, that just about wraps up another show here on Nationalist Ukrainian Roots Radio. So to take us to the end, the Ukrainian connection from Saskatchewan and the classic Who Stole the Kishka? I'm Paulette Demchik-McQuarrie on behalf of all of us here at Nationalist and PCJ Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Till next time, до побачення.